I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. We're going to introduce you each week to a new member of our church staff or community. It is a true treat, and it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my distinguished co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas, everybody.
Hey, Hallie. How are you?
I am blessed, 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 my brother. How are you?
Well, I am a bit stressed, to be honest.
Oh, no.
I know. Well, Hallie, you know, I'm not sure if I've mentioned him before on the podcast, but my friend Clay Mason Bannerman is having a really rough go of it.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'll put him on my prayer list.
I know. Have you heard anything about this whole GameStop thing?
Oh, it's something with the stock market?
Right. Well, as you know, my friend Clay Mason is an options trader.
Oh, that's
and he,
right.
He works,
I don't know what that is.
I don't either. I don't think anyone does.
Okay,
but he works at a place. It's called Melvin, which is a hedge fund.
Oh, cool.
And his whole job is to basically, you know, bet on stocks.
Got it.
And he's so good at it. I mean, he's just really killed it. He's someone with, you know, less. He doesn't even have a college education, and he makes six figures a year,
awesome.
Sometimes seven. And so
awesome.
Really what was happening, Hallie, I guess, is he told me, you know, GameStop is basically like Blockbuster. You know, they're going to go out of business because all these games are going online.
Yeah, there's Netflix now.
So Clay was like, well, I'm going to bet against that.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to bet it goes down.
Okay.
But then I guess a bunch of these kind of like, I don't know, online kind of losers,
sure,
got online and they were like, well, we're going to make it go up.
Uh-huh.
And Hallie, basically what came down to it is that Clay bet like, I don't know, he said like $10 billion or something on it.
What?
And he's just really getting his rear end kicked right now.
Oh,
and it looks
no.
like they're going to lose all this money. And I came home last night, Hallie, and he's parked in the garage and he's, you know, he's got his Porsche Cayenne running. And
oh, like suicide?
No. What? No.
Like that's how people kill themselves, with the car running in the garage.
No, Hallie, he's not going to do that. He's got too much money to do that.
So much to live for.
But he basically was like, I've got to go blow off some steam. He was actually on his way to go throw. Have you been to Chop Shop? It's the place where you throw the axes at the wall.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Right, yeah. So he got a bunch of his trader buddies and they went over there and threw a bunch of axes. I think they feel better. But yeah, he's kind of at the center of this whole GameStop thing.
That sounds really hard, although I don't understand most of what you said. And honestly, it doesn't sound like stock market stuff, which I believe is the economy. It sounds like Vegas stuff. You're talking about betting against things and stuff.
No,
sounds
no.
like
Hallie,
Vegas.
The stock market is not Vegas. It is investing, and it's for investors. And he just is investing and wanting to put a business out of business.
Oh.
How was your weekend?
Oh, well, you'll like this, Gray. I had the opportunity this week to articulate why the Christian church is so staunchly homophobic and anti-LGBT.
Okay.
I thought you would really like this. So one of my daughters was asking me about this new gender non-binary. Have you heard about this non-binary, non-conforming stuff? The only reason I'm throwing those terms around so easily is because my kids taught them to me. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, right. Totally. I mean, kids in Climax all the time are like, I'm non-binary. And I'm like, well, have a hot dog.
So my kids were like, Mom, you don't have to be forced into being male or female. There are more things and it's good. And my girls were even saying to me, Mom, your identity can change. You can identify as male or female or neither. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. The way you identify is not up to you. Your identity is fixed and it's assigned to you at birth.
Right, by God.
And they fought me on it. And so I said, well, let me consult the scriptures, kids, because lucky for us, the God of the universe was very clear and he breathed all these words into text so that we have the perfect relevant science book and textbook and poetry book and gender book and sex book, honestly, in the Bible. And my kids were asking me if it's possible that as times change, we can assume that what God meant can change. And I said, absolutely not.
No.
The word of God does not change. What he meant doesn't change. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
So, right, unchanging.
When I went into church, I grabbed a few of the pamphlets from the info desk and I downloaded a few of the employee handbook rules and guides and stuff about how we're supposed to respond to this type of stuff. And I told my kids that we believe in a traditional biblical marriage and that if they want to honor God, they will get with the program,
right,
you know, of traditional biblical marriage. And my son Day and my daughters went away and they, you know, seemed to have completely been assuaged by my compelling argument from the scriptures.
I love that when you can just, you know, give them some pamphlets and it kind of does all the work for
you. Isn't
that
the best?
Yeah, it's so great.
So then Day comes back and my daughters are watching and they come in the kitchen and Day has this presentation for me on his iPad, which he's really good at doing now. And it's this presentation about traditional biblical marriage. And
I
was honestly, I was so touched that they were searching the scriptures and diving into God's word. And great, I cannot even begin to tell you. My heart just grew in that moment. And so I sit down and I'm ready to listen to the thing they put together. And they're like, Mom, pick which kind of biblical traditional marriage you believe deeply in. And they put it things up screen by screen where I could give a thumbs up, a thumbs down. You know what? Day actually shared it with me on Google Docs. Should I do it to you?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, so here we go. Okay, so you give me a thumbs up or thumbs down.
Okay.
What traditional biblical marriage do you believe in? One man and his sister.
Thumbs down.
One man and his dead brother's wife.
One man is dead brother's wife, and yeah, thumbs up. That's probably all right.
One man and one woman with all of her servants.
One man and one woman with all of his servants. It seems a bit busy. I'd say thumbs down.
One man and his rape victim.
Thumbs down.
One man and many women.
Thumbs down.
One man and 700 women and 300 concubines.
Well, can't do that math, so thumbs down.
One man and one woman and her slaves.
It's depending on the time.
One soldier and his virgin prisoners.
Thumbs down.
Well, okay, so that's the end of the list, but you know what's cool is I think you had one thumbs up in there, so that's good.
Right.
That was better than I had. I
probably could have had a few if I thought about it, but most of them just didn't really work for me.
Well, sadly, those are the only examples of biblical marriage in the Bible, so we just have to be able to articulate, you know, that kids, times change and you have to adapt what God meant. And so I was able to explain to my kids that even though marriage in our country is, it's basically defined by a county document state by state whereby females just forfeit their identity to change their name from being named after their dad to being named after their husband, which you know, the worst part of that was my daughters caught me and said, well, Mom, I thought you said your identity is fixed with what you were given at birth and you can never change it. So why did you change the way you identified the day you got married? And I said, hush up. You don't know what you're talking about. Marriage is honestly, I mean, you don't know this, Greg, because you're not married. But honestly, marriage is mostly just about property and filing state and federal taxes. But I do believe that the God of the universe prefers all of these types of state and county documents just go to one man and one woman. Okay. And he's not into having them have slaves or concubines or being into incest or anything like that anymore. Not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Hallie. It's so refreshing when you have such, you know, we say God is unchanging.
That's right.
God is constant. He's beginning and the end.
That's right.
And then it's kind of hard sometimes when you have to kind of change, you know, I'm just, sometimes it's a bit hard when you got to go, yeah, but this part did change a little bit, you know, so.
Yeah. But just a scotch.
Right. Oh, Hallie, guess what?
What?
I just got an alert on my phone. I just made $45,000 on GameStop. Yeah,
awesome.
I bought some stock. Clay told me to because he said, yeah, might as well make some money.
That's awesome.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Well, we're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it? Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Just like Jesus kept his disciples in line, our guest today keeps college students and Christ followers everywhere in line. Please welcome Ashantasha Brakely.
Oh, thank you so much. It's Ashantasha.
I have so much trouble with that
so
one.
So do I. There's so many syllables. Ashantasha.
Ashantasha.
Okay. Ashantasha.
Oh, well, it's really nice for you to be here and for your whole name to be here.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I feel like I'm on a missions trip overseas and I can't understand what anybody's saying or remember anybody's names.
People often ask me where it comes from, and I feel like it's like, you know, my mom is from Taiwan, and so I think there's like a little bit of Asian heritage in it, Ashantasha.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, it reminds me of one time I was having ramen noodles in a restaurant, and I got a pork belly one called tonkatsu, and that kind of sounds like your name.
Oh my gosh, it does.
Well, Ashtalasha, would you tell us a bit about where what you're up to with this awesome program that you do just down the road at Indiana Bible College?
Oh, well, I work in the Honor Code office.
Awesome.
And, you know, it is such a pleasure because you see these kids, they're coming out of their parents' guidance and they're free for the first time in their life. Yes. They're not under yep. their family's roof.
Yep.
And instead of, you know, going to mom and dad, they come to the Honor Code office and I'm able to help them through their trials and tribulations.
Oh, this is so awesome. So, because I remember going away to college and it was a rude awakening to be free in the world. I could do anything I wanted. I could have smoked cigarettes. I could have stayed out smooching some guy after dark. And it, you really need to, Bible college, it's so important for Christian homes to send their kids to Bible colleges where they're going to have accountability and where they're going to be kept in line. And is that what you do? Do you do disciplinary stuff too? Like you run an office at the college that makes sure everybody is not living a life of sin on campus or what?
Yeah, I hear a lot of disturbing things in these youth conferences. They talk to kids about, well, repentance. But I think that they're emphasizing repentance so much uh-huh. that they forget uh-huh. to tell people about the awfulness of sin.
Uh-huh.
So I'm there to, I sort of save them before they, you know, by punishing them before they get to the point where they've lost their soul.
Yes. Wow. Yes, that's awesome.
You know, I have a lot of my students that end up at Indiana Bible College. You know, a lot of kids in from Climax end up there.
Yeah.
So, and I'm just wondering, Ashton Kutcher, what is it about an honor code that really helps keep these kids accountable?
Well, let's just say, for example, like your little bit of facial hair right now, Gray,
oh,
which
right,
looks
yeah.
amazing.
It's so
right,
cool.
Thanks. I got one of those trimmers that, you know, you can kind of set the setting. So now I basically am always at a 2
uh-huh.
and I can really cut this really,
distinct
know,
line.
I love to line it up so that I just have, you know, different kind of patterns on my face with my facial hair. I think
cool.
it's cool.
Yeah. Well, you look good. I mean, I can't look at you too long or else I'll have to bridle the passions of the flesh because
oh.
you're so handsome.
Thank you.
Aww.
But, you know, that kind of beard, it won't fly on campus.
Oh, really?
You know, it's just, yeah, simple things, beards, flip-flops.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's a little sacrilegious on campus because uh-huh. we sort of view it as church missionary training for the world,
right.
you know? So if I see a guy with a beard, mm-hmm. If he doesn't have what we call a beard card, which is really only given out if you're like in a play or something like that, they don't give them out a lot. But if you don't have that, then I'm going, hey, Gray, you better come see me at HCO on Wednesday and maybe for a few weeks after that.
Oh, HCO Honor Code Office. So you call them in when they step out of line?
Yeah. And also other students sometimes give me tips about, you know, maybe somebody who's in trouble. So
okay.
I had a girl in Hall C who was like, you know, the people across from me in 109, I saw boys come out of their apartment 2 minutes after curfew.
Uh-oh.
So then I'll knock on 109 uh-huh. and be like, hey, uh-huh. nothing good happens after 7 p.m.
That's right.
Come see me at HCO and we'll talk about it.
And are they incentivized in any way to knock on their fellow students?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, well, I mean, everybody... Everything's in the handbook.
Okay.
So nobody's perfect. And I find that if somebody is at the point where they are willing to help their fellow student's spirit by, what do you call it, narking?
Right.
I don't like that word, but narking. They're in a better, more open spiritual place.
That's great.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't receive as much punishment, which can range anywhere from community service all the way to expulsion.
Okay.
And I don't think it is narking. I think it's holding people accountable. And that's exactly what Jesus did with the disciples. It's what he has called us to do. It's what Paul did with Silas. It's what we should do with each other. And it's funny you said nothing good can happen after 7 o'clock. That is what my mom told me when she set my curfew when I was an adolescent. And that's what I say to my kids too. I say, nothing good happens after, well, I kind of always change it, whoever I'm talking to, you know, nothing good happens after 6, nothing good happens after 10, you know, you kind of, because the Bible tells us to avoid even the appearance of evil, isn't that right? And that's maybe why a flip-flop or a beard might make someone believe that you're into kind of some of that hippie stuff. You're, you know, first thing it's a flip-flop, next thing you know, it's a hacky sack, the next thing you know, you're eating big buds of cannabis and marijuana, and you've thrown your whole life away.
Right.
Exactly. I want to save them before they get to that point. And I honestly hear my mother's voice anytime I read the handbook because she was so on point when I was a teenager. You know, if she saw me leaving the house and I was wearing something that was maybe a little too short,
mm-hmm.
inappropriate,
uh-huh.
she'd say, Why don't you remember modest is hottest?
Oh, that's good. I'm going to use
that. That's great.
Modest
is hottest.
Modest
you know?
Is hottest.
Wow. What kind of curfew did she give you?
Well, it extended a little bit as I got a little older. So, you know, when I was 16, it was like 7 p.m. When I turned like 17, 8 p.m., 18, 9 p.m., we never really went past that because she's like, you can stay up. You don't need to go to bed, but you need to be inside the house. You know,
now with her coming from overseas, over there in Taiwan and being, what is she, Chinese?
Taiwanese.
Did she have any other like weird cultural things where you were like, Mom, that's not how we do it in America?
I don't know. I feel like she was very strict, but I'm thankful for that now,
yeah.
Even though I didn't understand that when I was younger.
Yeah.
Very strict with homework. She always wanted me to be the best in my class.
Yeah.
And were you?
No.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I tried. Just there was this kid, Jared Wynn, who always beat me out. He's a doctor now, so.
Mm.
Were you good? What were you good at? Were you good at anything?
I'm good at following the rules.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and I think that that's appropriate for where I'm at now.
Yep.
Because I am holding these kids accountable for something they signed up for.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of parents who, they want to know that if their kid is going to go out there into the world and they're going to spend their money on school, that their kid is experimenting with Mountain Dew and not beer,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of Mountain Dew, and I don't like to name names, but, you know, one of my kids from Climax who is at IBC now, PepsiClear Blankenship, he said, you know, he got suspended recently. And he came to me and said, Gray, you know, I got suspended by this lady, Astaloego Blankly, and she basically, you know, claimed I broke curfew and I was making purple, I guess is what they call it when you have boys and girls rooms and girl, you know, in girls and the ladies in the boys rooms. And I said, hey, look, PepsiClear, you signed a covenant when you went to IBC and you got to obey those rules just like you signed a covenant with God. And she is just, you know, executing the rules. And he basically came back to me and said, well, it's similar to ISIS and stuff because, you know, the creating a theocracy where, you know, people are so afraid that they're turning each other in because, you know, they'd rather turn each other in than be punished.
Right. I've been called a Nazi before.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's hurtful.
But you know what? I take it in stride. I like to think of it. I understand where they're coming from. I understand where they're coming from now. Like I said, looking at Gray's face, I'm just going to have to go home and light my Hugh Jackman candle. But, I mean, he's beautiful. I'm sorry. Please don't make eye contact with me. So I get where they're coming from.
Sorry.
But when you go to one of these parties and you make purple at these parties where they're serving liquor, that is a one-way ticket to a horizontal refreshment.
Oh, no.
What is that? Oh, like sushi?
You know, like driving a taxi to Taco Town, you know, Gray?
Oh, I don't really eat tacos because I don't like the taste.
Oh.
Well, these kids, this is how I'll put it. These kids think that if it's over the clothes, anything goes.
Oh, so it's like a bread bowl or something? Kind of messy?
Right. They get to the point where they're sliming the banana.
Oh, no.
So it's sort of a banana stand kind of thing.
Oh, huh.
I just don't really understand what restaurant you're talking about, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm in the mood for some Chinese food. I like a cashew chicken.
We are talking about Chinese food?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, wow. Great. I've had a few Climax students come through my office. And what I try to tell them is that I'm saving them from the nightmare of sin,
yep.
Because especially sexual purity
yep.
at that
oh, okay.
age is
yep.
very difficult,
yep. Yep. Yep.
And that's the foundation of righteousness.
Right.
And so, for example, I had this very nice gentleman come into my office last week, and he said, "I just don't understand. Like, we're two consenting adults. I don't want to lose all of my credits. They don't transfer to another college. Please don't expel me. I don't want to lose my ecclesiastic reference." And I was like, "Listen, I'm saving you for later." And I held up a piece of gum okay. like this. And
oh, okay.
okay, Hallie, Gray, do you want a piece of gum?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, totally.
Great, great, great.
Okay.
Pretty intense eye contact with Gray.
And you put the piece of gum in your mouth.
Okay.
You chew it.
I don't know why, but I just got really uncomfortable.
Here you go. Do you still want this piece of gum?
But you just chewed the gum, Hasta luego.
That's your body when you give in to the passions of the flesh.
Oh.
The moment that you have sex, you become unchewable by your future spouse.
Oh, that is so good.
What a great teaching tool. I'm going to use that.
Okay, so do you want some gum? I'm going to chew it up. Now here you go. No, thank you. Well, guess what? That's a girl's body after another guy has drilled her over and over and over and then tried to hand her over to a man of God.
Exactly. You want to live the life worthy of your future spouse. And you can't. You can't straighten this back out.
Yeah,
it's right. Over. And I've had some snarky guys be like, okay, yeah, give it to me. And then I'm like, oh, what if it was in different holes in my body? What then?
And you don't want a man of God because you don't want all those carbs. Anyway, hey, Appendoctor, I was thinking maybe I would do this a similar thing because I used to do a thing where I would do a similar thing with a popsicle and I would go, hey guys, do you want a popsicle? And then they'd be like, yeah. And then I would take the popsicle and I'd be like, all the way down my throat.
Oh.
I'd put it as far into my throat as I could. And then I'd be like, now do you want the popsicle?
Oh,
and they'd be
good.
Like, I don't know.
You were just gagging on it.
Right. And I would say, you know what? That is the kind of thing that happens when you drink and drive. You make bad choices. It didn't really work out, but I just liked, I like to do stuff like that where you kind of gross them out.
Yeah.
And then you go, don't do that thing.
You got to scare these kids, you know, because the hormones that are in their bodies are so strong. So you really have to kind of think of a way to overpower it. That's something I've always wanted to ask God when I get to heaven. And maybe you can shed light on it, Ashantansha. I just think that when you're the most aroused and excited sexually in your body and your hormones and everything is at the time in your life when you can't do it. And then when you reach the age where you get married and you have a spouse and you have a godly marriage and now it's time that all things go, you can do anything you want, put it anywhere you want, do it everywhere you want, then you don't really want it anymore. And you're kind of like, to be honest, I could, open up a bag of potato chips and dip them in some blue cheese dressing. And, and it's like, well, why is it that we're just burning for it at the time when it's a no-no? And then when it becomes a big two thumbs up, it's like, meh.
It's the forbidden fruit. That's why I encourage these kids to get married as young as possible.
That's
you know, and then and find, you need to get on one of these Christian apps and find somebody who wants to put their relationship with Jesus first and their relationship with you second. And if you both do that.
Yes.
That is the foundation for a good marriage.
Yes.
So, Ashton, Marsha, did you grow up with this strong Christian foundation? Or what was it?
Yeah, story?
What's your story?
What's your testimony?
Well, my parents both converted to the Mormon Church.
Oh,
I'm
no.
sure you've heard
oh,
of.
No.
I know. I'm sure you've heard of. They both converted when they were young adults.
Really?
My father, he was a missionary in Taiwan, met my mom, and then they both went to BYU, where they also have an honor code office there, but it's just not quite as strict as IBC. But if you've, they are a Christian people, but they don't have the full truth.
Yeah.
So even though I was raised very conservative and good in that way, I found that I was lacking some discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's definitely a point of anger between me and my parents.
Oh,
they
no.
did not, they did not love that I converted, but then I try to remind them that they did the same thing to their parents.
That's true.
Now, it's so interesting because I've always wondered what is the difference really between, these Mormons and us? Because all I know is that they, the one thing I've heard about Mormons is, Mitt Romney is one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I've heard about them is that they think of heaven as like a glass cube that you live in forever or something.
And they have magic underpants.
Right.
Right. See, and that's the thing is magic underpants, yes.
Okay.
Glass cube, yes.
Mitt Romney,
yes.
Okay.
One thing that really disturbed me is that it is very clear in their scripture that, that polygamy is, if not practiced in this life because of the laws of the land, definitely practiced in what, in their eternal vision.
Really?
And I just thought, sex is so sacred. The act of procreation, doing it with more than one person, I can't even imagine doing it with one person.
Oh.
Let alone like a family of people.
Are you married?
Technically, but only because I don't believe in divorce.
Well, good. That's good. Yeah.
Can I share something really personal
Please
with you?
Please do.
It depends.
I thought that I found the man that I was going to be with for the rest of my life because, you know, I tell these college kids this all the time. You can't be too attracted to your partner.
Okay.
If you are too attracted to your partner, Jesus will never come first. Oh. And it starts to become like idol worship. And it is, you're going to transgress before you get married.
That's good.
So I met somebody who I was like, wow, there's no temptation between us, but we're both committed. He feels like my best friend. And then when we got married, we couldn't horizontal refreshment. Like we couldn't get to the point where we were at the sushi bar together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It just felt wrong. It felt nasty.
Yeah,
And then I was like, if this was supposed to be good and holy, I'd feel better right now. So sure. We just never.
I think it is important that Jesus comes first in that scenario.
Are you single? Are you single, Gray?
Right now I am dating, but I am super busy and I don't really have time for it. But I am on ChristianFriendFinder.com and, I'm just doing kind of like some initial sort of screening for a future partner. And I can't wait until the day that I've finally figured out that part of my life. But right now I'm really just focused on my teens and climax. Wow.
Can I make a suggestion? When I do online dating, I do something that I call search, ponder, and pray.
Ooh.
So you are dating. You're still married, but you are dating.
Technically only because we don't believe in divorce.
Okay.
And also he is no longer with us.
Oh, he died.
No, he's just not Christian anymore.
So same thing.
Yeah.
Yes. He's on Grindr.
Oh no.
The coffee side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ash and Tasha, I think it's also good that you get on these sites like Christian Friend Finder and what's the one you just said? Because that way you can tell your college kids, you can speak with knowledge, you know?
Right. I'm on Christian Cat Cafe.
Okay.
That's a one for people who either have cats or are okay with a partner who has cats.
That's cool.
But yes, I search, I ponder, I pray. I search their profile and I ponder it in my heart. And then I pray to ask if they're the one. And if I don't get a yes, I just swipe on left.
I see.
Got it. And it's good that you're on there keeping up with things because I wouldn't even know how to do it. But if your husband does die, then you could start dating if he physically dies, you know?
Right.
Now, I was thinking about what you said, your husband's on Grindr. Is it true that Mormons can't drink coffee? Because I've heard that too.
Yes, caffeine is against what they call the word of wisdom.
Oh.
Which, honestly, it's something I admire. They're very conscious about what they put in their body and how it affects them. So any substance that changes your physiology is frowned upon. Although it seems like a lot of them replace coffee with Red Bulls.
Okay. Oh.
And that's just listening to the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law, yep. Which I don't love.
No, I'm not a fan. No. So what about like a box of Krispy Kreme donuts? Can a Mormon eat one of those?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they love a potluck.
Oh.
But again, letter of the law, spirit of the law. If you saw how round so many of them were, you'd be like, are you really eating a balanced diet? Because he said that that's part of it.
Yeah, but, consciousness about what you put in your body. Now, do Mormons call themselves Christians? Does a Mormon think they're saved and they're Christian?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That is so weird.
Yeah, they believe that Christ is their savior. So that is one point where we're always able to be like, Christ is my savior.
Right.
Huh. My parents, we can relate. But yes, they're technically called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right. And that's, I've always wondered where does this ladder come in?
Is it like a ladder to heaven where you get to have sex with your whole family?
Possibly.
Okay.
I was always under the impression it's like latter days, like now, like it's like, we're a modern, like modern church, like we're towards the end of before,
Jesus comes back.
Yeah, before Jesus comes back. Yeah. Exactly.
We're
so they believe we're
days.
Almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in the end of days.
Yeah.
Top step of the ladder.
Now, one more question. When the people get to have sex with multiple family members in heaven, is it only the men who get to have sex with lots of women, or is there a scenario in which a woman gets to have sex with a lot of men?
I think it's just the man having sex with multiple women.
Yeah. Oh.
And I understand, because the natural man, that's... it's difficult. Yeah. I think it's difficult to be a Christian man. Yeah. And there's a lot of temptation thrown their way. So that part of it I understand. But what I tell my students is, you know, instead of having so many partners, it's just like, I tell the women right before they get married that, I'm like, just don't, you know, if he wants to have fun with you, just never say no. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Never say no. Mm-hmm. And that way, you'll both be happy. You know, you might not want to, but it's better than him having 12 wives like Joseph
Smith. Yeah. Yeah. And it's probably
33 wives.
Oh, wow. He's like David, a man after God's own heart. And David had, you know, he got all of the women, the wives from the previous king and more, and he could have anyway. But I can see it makes more sense that the fella would be able to, you know, waggle it in anybody he wanted to, because I can't imagine a woman really even wanting to. A, the mess, you know, the woman has to, you know, clean up.
Allie.
And there probably aren't even enough towels in heaven. If a woman was, you know, going to have multiple partners, it would just be a viscous mess.
I'm sure you're going to have towels.
And you get sore. And it's just kind of like, I mean, it's like, you know, I got one of those massage guns, you know, and sometimes it's, I'm like, oh, turn it down a level, you know, and sometimes I feel like it's that way with intercourse with a spouse. It's like just taking a pounding, and it's like.
Hallie, I love that you are able to talk about this, because sometimes my students are shy and I'm like, listen. If I'm going to know what your process for repentance is, what punishment is appropriate, I'm going to need to know details.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like clothes, no clothes.
Yeah.
Were you horizontal?
Right.
What time was it?
Right.
Did you enjoy it?
Right.
What positions were you in?
Right.
How many fingers?
Yep.
Was it on your face or your chest or your butt? I need to know everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the difference between a suspension and expulsion.
Okay.
That's the difference between how many hours of community service.
Okay.
I'm completely
That's
lost.
The difference between, do I send a letter to your parents?
Yeah.
Right.
Now, do you go into the girls' dorm rooms? Because I feel like you could check their sheets and see if you see any snail tracks, like as if their, you know, their basement was, you know, getting that viscous stuff going, they would be leaving snail tracks all over the bed. You could check for that.
I can't believe that I've never thought of that. This is such a good, wow. I'm going to add that to my patrol. Thank you.
That really
is so smart.
You know, I don't know about, you know, I really don't understand what we're talking about, but, you know, do you have any hobbies?
You know, I have three cats.
Ooh.
So they take up a lot of my extra energy.
That's good.
It's Nugget, Moose, and David Hasselhoff.
Aww.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, they're really sweet.
What do you do that they take up your energy?
Well, you know, I like to build those. I like to build like playthings for them. I like to make sure that they get their energy out.
Yep.
I know a lot of cat owners, you know, they like cats because they say they take up less like time than dogs. But for me, I'm like, but why would I have them if I didn't want to spend quality
mm-hmm.
time with them?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ashan Tansha, do you have any more, you know, words of wisdom, things you've learned, things you say to the students at Indiana Bible College, or that your mom gave you, of how to avoid, you know, falling into sin? Because I agree with you that, like, sometimes I think Christians think we have a get out of jail free card, like a free pass to sin because of grace and because Jesus hung on that cross and because they know that
right.
if they repent, they will be forgiven. And so why don't I just go do the thing that I want to do and then ask for forgiveness and all is covered in the blood? Like, what do you have any tips or techniques or ways that they can avoid sin in the first place instead of having to soil and sully themselves in sin and then get forgiven?
Wow. I love that. Thank you for asking that. You know, my mom used to say to me, if you sin and you go in and you say, oh, no, I can do it because then I can just repent and it no hurt nobody, you wrong. Because God knows if you sin thinking, oh, I can just repent. But if you accidentally do something, then okay, you have godly sorrow and then it's fine. But no, you shouldn't sin knowing that God's grace is going to save you, because he'll know.
Yes. She's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's right.
Wow.
Wow.
I can just hear her saying that. I can absolutely hear it as if it's coming right out of her mouth.
I know.
She is a wise,
yeah,
wise
she
woman.
Is.
It's scary, actually.
But is she still a Mormon, or can't we get her over to the right side? What does she say about what does appeal to her about Mormonism? I just don't understand. It's just off. It's a tad askew.
I know. It feels a little cultish to me. Because they're very much like, our brand of spirituality is the right one, and you're on the train or you're off. There's like no in between. So it feels a little bit like a cult. But I don't know. I don't know what it is that entrapped her in Mormonism. We've had lots of conversations about it. She voted for Mitt Romney, you know, but there's nothing I can do.
Oh, this election, because he wasn't running.
Oh.
Yeah, she wrote his name.
Oh, wow. Now, I bet Ashlyn Tansha at Indiana Bible College, being, you know, in charge of the honor code office, I bet you see some doozies of scenarios that kids get themselves into. I mean, are you just having to navigate some wild, wild stuff?
Yes, it is very disturbing. You know, chastity especially, kids just, they don't see it. They're like, that's not the fad. It's right. Not cool anymore. They you know, and I'm like, fads are Satan's sirens.
Yep.
So you think it's cool. It's not cool. So, you know, I had this kid, Cameron, come in, and he is a sweetheart, and he has a deep faith, but he's in the theater program.
Oh, no. Boy.
And, you know, there was somebody, I don't want to say too much, but there was someone in Romeo and Juliet with him that he was interested in. He was playing Romeo, so it's like a very romantic, charged thing. I think they had to cut a lot of the play, and I still think it's too inappropriate to do.
Yeah.
But he had somebody that he liked, and, you know, because they spent so much time backstage together, they ended up, Gray, will you just cover your ears really quick?
Yeah, sure.
Cover them up.
They ended up fornicating backstage during
a
rehearsal.
Oh, no.
You know, this is why I think, I'm sorry, I didn't cover my ears because I was just curious. But, you know, this is why I think they should always cast, especially in Shakespeare, men in the women's parts, because then you're not going to be tempted at all.
I know. And to be out there in a dress, it's audacious.
Right.
Yeah. I really, like my mother would say, if a man has inappropriate thoughts about you, it's your fault.
Uh-huh.
You know, so like, don't put yourself on a stage in front of all these men.
Don't be a stumbling block.
You're basically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at Tatonka, I was even hearing that IBC had one of the worst outbreaks of new syphilis in the state of Indiana.
Oh.
That, you know, over 80% of the students contracted it.
Oh, it grieves the heart of God.
I just want to say, I've been in this position for 2.5 years now. And, you know, I've been cracking down because I don't want us to have that kind of reputation.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, what was handed to me on a platter was really disturbing.
Right.
And so I'm really trying to motivate these kids to, you know, watch out for each other and to come to me. And I'm hoping in a few years that that'll change.
What did they hand you on the platter? Are we talking about a restaurant again? I'm sorry. Every time I just keep getting confused.
Ooh, I want some crab meat wontons.
Ooh, that sounds so, my mom makes some really good crab wontons.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know you could have it in a home. I thought that was restaurant only, carry out only. Wow.
I've told her so many times that she would be a millionaire if she opened a restaurant because her food is so good.
Oh, I'm going to put your mom on my prayer list because just hearing her voice and your impression of her has really, God has put her on my heart, and I feel like she's a pre-Christian. She might think she's a Christian because she's Mormon, but she's not. And I'm going to pray that she comes over to, like, honestly, to a mega church. And speaking of, I love what she said about modesty, because I'm a big proponent of modesty and that, you know, women need to protect good and upright men from stumbling in the flesh, lusting in the flesh, being a stumbling block. And I it's funny because I really feel like the evangelical mega church culture is really the most effective at reaching people, because we're so relevant and current. And we you know, we got drums, we fog the room, we have strobe lights, stuff like that I mention all the time. But also, you know, somebody can look like Gray,
right,
very hot and handsome, wearing hip jeans, having a beard, having a thumb ring, maybe a hemp necklace.
# Riffy Boy Jeans.
Riffy
Boy
Jeans.
I'm sorry. I just need a drink. My mouth is dry.
Yeah. But I think, with the modesty thing, like a lot of fundamentalists, they say women need to wear dresses to be more modest. The megachurch says, hey, gals, wear jeans. I think that's actually a better idea, because with a dress, it's easier access. See, he can just go right up under there. She's got her genitalia is just out flapping in the wind, and a guy can just come drilling right up there with his member, and all bets are off.
You know what? I love this. I love this because, you know, I'm always like, the skirt can't ever be long enough.
That's right.
But if it's something that it's like, it is coming covering all of your skin,
yeah,
there is an advantage to pants.
And the next thing you know, because pants cover up her chewing gum. Am I right? It's locked away. The gum is in the wrapper. Put on a pair of pants, a modest pair, maybe a flowy one. I like a Chico linen, you know, a wide leg with a long tunic over it. But, you know, I just really appreciate this. Ashantasha, I'm so happy that you're a member of Twin Hills. I feel like maybe you and I should go out for Chinese together.
I would love that. You know what? Tell you what, you come over and I will make one of my mom's recipes. What?
Oh, that sounds so good.
And also, Gray, you know, I'd love to swap numbers with you and maybe, I mean, listen, just maybe search, ponder, pray in your heart. And if you want to exchange numbers, I would love that.
I would love that. I would love that. But you know what? I'm really busy right now.
Ashantasha Blakely was played by Anna-Tasha Blakely. She is one of the world's greatest humans and improvisers and just an overall artist extraordinaire. You can follow her at Anna-Tasha Blakely or at Storm Chaser Improv or at Buddy Puzzle. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.